Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yes, he is. Doug Oster, DougOster.com, part of the Rob Pratt Sunday morning lineup at Odyssey, 100.1 FM, AM 1020, KDK. If you have a question for Doug, give us a call, 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. And if you're the 10th caller right now, you'll get a $25 gift certificate to Sorgles in Wexford at 412-922-1020. Mr. Oster is bittersweet because it's that time of year, is it not, Doug? Good morning.
Yes, it is bittersweet to take those tomato cages out of the vegetable garden and put them back into storage. It's always exciting to put them out, but always a little bittersweet to take them and put them behind the fence. That's where they go. Yeah, I've been working in the vegetable garden. This all should have been done already, but you know how it goes. So cleaning things up, making sure everything's out of there, throwing pepper plant into the compost pile and anything that's left that was annual, but I'll talk about it a little later. But I've been doing a little bit of planting too, under protection with some cold frames and such. Even though it's awful cold out there, cool weather crops and all sorts of other things can be planted now. When I was cleaning up the garden, I actually picked some late figs, which was exciting. I do have some information, and we'll talk about it in the next week or so, about wintering over those fig trees. I do it a couple different ways, and believe it or not, I still have some pineapple sage, at least yesterday, I haven't looked out this morning, that was still blooming. This stuff has really been tough for me after all the other annuals are gone. That pineapple sage is still going. I took some of it and put it in my unheated greenhouse. I've got an unheated greenhouse filled with all sorts of annual hanging baskets and impatiens and anything that was in a container that I could drag in just to get another month of enjoyment out of them. And I'm still planting garlic also. And if you planted yours earlier, and I planted another a crop earlier, and it's popped up, that's not a problem. Don't worry about that. I'm getting a lot of questions about that. You know, they can pop up once, get cold, and pop up another time and still not affect the size of the bulb. So there's no big deal. But as I said, I'm still planting garlic. I've got a ton of Janoski's garlic to get in the ground, and I've been, you know, giving it away to some people. If you're interested in growing some garlic and we can hook up, I might have a little extra for you. Bulb planting also continues, and I've seen bulbs at nurseries, well, right down the road from me at Han Nursery, half price, and I'm sure a lot of other places are discounting them too. I'm warning you, if you do not buy these bulbs, I'm going to. I'll go in, you know, as long as the ground isn't frozen solid, I'll go in and I'll make an offer on whatever's left, and that's even though I have hundreds and hundreds of bulbs to plant yet. But I'm not worried because I've got that power planter auger. I talk about it a lot, and I just want to remind you, power planter is not paying me to say anything about this auger. I've used this thing for years, and I love it. And if you're interested to see what exactly it is, I've posted it at DougOster.com, showing what it looks like, how I use it. It makes bulb planting easy, and certainly in my landscape, I am looking at deer-resistant bulbs. And if you haven't planted bulbs before, daffodils are one of the easiest things to plant because nothing eats them. They're tough as nails. They'll come up for you in the spring and kind of be that harbinger of spring. But there's other things, too. There's these little bulbs called Glory of Snow. They bloom right after the crocus bloom. And, again, the deer, you can't ever say they're never going to eat it, but they've never eaten it in my garden. They walk right by it. something called fritillaria. And fritillarias are one of those bulbs that if a nursery has them, they'll probably be left over this time of the year. And if you see fritillarias, get them because the deer don't like them. And they can be so many different shapes and sizes. There's a one called Crown Imperial that's this big, giant, 3 foot tall, orange or yellow bloom, depending on which cultivar you get. But there's also these little purple flowers, too. And then one of my favorite bulbs to plant are these little bulbs called snowdrops because they're one of the first things to bloom in the spring. Winter aconite also is another one that they'll bloom during a thaw, you know, in the middle of the winter, January, February, they'll bloom, and it's just wonderful to extend the season. I got a whole list of my favorite bulbs at DougOster.com, so take a look. I posted a story that got quite a reaction on my social media, and I wanted to talk a little bit about it, called The Last Rose. And those of you that watched my videos, gardening videos, for years saw Max the Wonder Dog following me around. He was a great buddy and passed away last year, and a dear friend gave us a yellow miniature rose. And for, you know, at the time I had it in the greenhouse, and I moved it out in the garden. I didn't pay much attention to it, and every once in a while I get a bloom and I cut it off and bring it in and show it to my wife and say, hey, it's from Max's rose. And then just a week or so ago, I looked at that plant in the container and it just had a little bud on it. I threw it into the unheated greenhouse, and a couple days ago it bloomed. And so it doesn't make me sad. It makes me happy. It's a good memory. And I guess that's part of the good part of gardening, you know, the feelings you get from these different plants. People often ask me, what should I plant? What should I plant? And all these plants in my garden, most of them, have some kind of special meaning for somebody, or a friend gave me a plant, or it reminds me of somebody. Not always, but there's lots of cool stuff in there. That's kind of one of the cool things about gardening. Now, my February trip to Costa Rica is sold out, but I still have a few seats left for my May trip to England and Holland. In England, we're seeing the Chelsea Flower Show, and it is just, you know, an amazing day of gardening, gardening, gardening. They have this indoor area, the Great Hall, filled with every plant you can ever think of growing in its prime. So next to fall blooming asters are daffodils blooming in their prime. I have no idea how they do it, but it is fun to see. In Holland, we'll also see Kew Gardens and then a place called Sissinghurst Castle, which is cool. They have a famous white garden. And after we're done in London, we're headed on the Eurostar over to Holland for my big bucket list part of the trip. You know, yes, in Amsterdam we'll do a canal cruise, a food tour of the city, and that'll be fun. But every 10 years, the gates open to this international horticultural exhibition called Floriade. And it's this 143-acre town which is reconfigured every decade just in a big celebration of gardening. And got up some pictures, and it's just like artist rendering pictures. We don't know exactly what's going to be there at DougOster.com. So take a look if you'd like to come with me. Like I said, it's getting close. We got seats left, but you have time to think about it. And later this morning, Mrs. Know-It-All will give us a great list of trees for small gardens. And I think that's a great idea. Mrs. Know-It-All and I talk during the week and kick around ideas, and she comes up with what she wants to talk about. I will love to hear about trees for small gardens, because that's one of the problems. You know, this time of the year, we're still in tree planting season. I'm going to talk about the right way to plant a tree later in the show. But, you know, people are surprised that we're still planting, but there's a reason, especially for trees, that this time of the year is just perfect. And I got some tips for that. Now, so I'm interested to hear what Mrs. Know-It-All has to say. And then I have been continuing to plant in the garden, but under protection. And so yesterday I planted butter crunch lettuce, winter boar kale, some collards, a thing called corn salad or corn mache, which is a cold-loving green, some spinach, and I've got them in something called a cold frame. It's just an unheated greenhouse that I've built out of rough-cut cedar, and it has a clear lid on it, and it acts as a greenhouse. It's angled at 35 degrees facing south to try and get the sun. And a real easy way to have some protection, and I talk about this all the time, is go to your local hardware store and get a 3 mil thick plastic drop cloth. That's the thickest that at least my local Hastings Hardware has. Those guys help me out a lot, I'll tell you. But that drop cloth has worked for me with some support over cold, cool, loving plants like those vegetables, and I use that all over the garden. And it's a great way to extend the season. I love being able to go out there in the winter and pick some kale, pick some lettuce. As I said, it's very exciting. All right, Rob, we ready for a break?
Yes, we are, Doug. And listen, we're ready for some calls. So we got some lines available. If you have a question for Doug, you want to join us, the number is 866-391-1020. Agora Cyber Charter School is offering virtual open houses for the 21-22 school year. Once enrolled, students receive a computer, printer, and all materials needed for their Agora education. Register for an open house now at agora.org. Yeah, he is, and we're finally starting to get some calls. So as we await those calls, Doug's got some stuff he wants to talk about, from cover crop to the Pittsburgh Botanical Garden ornamental grasses, and maybe even, if we have time, a couple of listener questions. Doug, go right ahead.
All right, Rob, you can feel free to interrupt me if you get a call. And, yeah, I was out at the Pittsburgh Botanic Garden, and I've been getting lots of questions about ornamental grasses. And so when I was out at the Pittsburgh Botanic Garden, Executive Director Keith Kaiser was saying he cuts his down now because he does not want all those brown bits blowing all over the lawn. And I have a friend that does the same thing. He's got an incredible stand of thick ornamental grasses on his property line that gives him privacy. But if he left those up, they would, you know, little flakes of tan colored dried grass would be everywhere. And in my garden, I do the opposite. I love the look of ornamental grasses in the landscape during the winter against the snow. And I'm in the woods, so wherever those blow, it's no big deal. And so you can do it either way. It depends on what you want out of your garden. And as I said, for me, it's great winter interest. And kind of along those same lines as a late season garden job is something called a cover crop. And believe it or not, it can be planted this late in the season. Winter rye is one of the easiest to find, and it's just a flat-bladed grass that you throw down now. It sprouts. It holds the soil in place. You know, this is something we'd use normally in our vegetable gardens. Basically, it's a green manure. We're going to throw it in. It's going to sprout. It's going to hold the soil in place because you can lose, you know, a quarter of an inch or more during winter for erosion. If you're not cover cropping, you have really nice composty soil in the vegetable garden. At least put some mulch on it so you don't lose any of that. And so the cover crop holds it in place. It's a great place also for beneficial insects. And then in the spring, if you're a tilling gardener, you would just till it in. And as that decomposes, that adds a green manure for you. You know, if you, it's a great idea if you can't bring in wheelbarrow after wheelbarrow of compost, but it's also a way to get the soil improved yearly by doing this, and as I said, holding that soil in place. Now, when I was out at Janoski's, and Mike Janoski and I were driving around the fields, I'm always interested to hear how they're growing different crops. And before he plants his garlic, he's growing buckwheat, which is another type of cover crop. And again, he'll cut it down, till it in. It'll come up again from the seeds. He'll do it again. And that is adding nutrients to the soil. And however you're going to do it, whether it's a cover crop or adding compost, that's just the number one thing we can do as gardeners, is to improve that soil in any way we can. And cover crop's an easy way to do it, especially this time of the year. You know, everything's out of there. You toss down some seeds, and you'll have this flat-bladed grass sitting there all winter long. All right, Rob, any calls, or you want me to keep going here?
Keep going, buddy.
Oh, boy. Come on, people. 866-391-1020. I want to talk
to you. No, listen, I've got some things. Let me jump in here a little bit, you know, get my 2 cents worth in. You know, so is it time for that final cut of the year when it comes to your lawn?
Definitely. That's a great question because I have been getting that question a lot, too. Yeah, this is about it. And when you do make that final cut, you want it to be a little shorter than what you normally do. Now, you know, we always say we don't want a putting green. But if you're used to keeping your grass around 3.5, 3 inches, just, you know, another half inch shorter for that last cut. You know, I'm dealing with the leaves, and so I don't want leaves on my grass. I leave the leaves, yes, leave the leaves on all my ornamental beds in the vegetable garden. I leave those leaves in place. That's a, you know, a great thing to do for, you know, beneficial insects and all the native good bugs. But, you know, you can't smother your grass, and you got to keep the walkways clean. You got to keep the leaves off the driveway, off the patio. And so in that case, they're moved. But in my case, since who knows when, sometimes in the 30s or 40s, people have been sweeping leaves over the side of the hill, and there's just a big pile of leaves. And if I need compost quick, I can dig to the about halfway through that pile, and then I get this good called leaf mold. It's just don't let the word mold scare you, but it's just composted leaves, and it's great. And so, yeah, keep the leaves off the grass. Do that last cutting, and thank goodness it's the last time we have to cut. I didn't have to cut my grass that much this year because we had that dry spell. Anything else from you, Rob?
Yeah, real quick, about a minute before the break, and we're getting some calls now, and we'll get to them right out of the news. So when it comes to, you know, seedlings and planting inside, taking that garden from the outside to the inside, maybe some quick tips for people who want to keep it going during the winter months.
Yeah, you know, if you're bringing something in, just be sure you're not bringing in some kind of pest with it. Like I said, my stuff went into the unheated greenhouse. I keep an eye on it. There's two things you could use, one or the other. You don't have to have both, but for anyone growing stuff inside, eventually you're going to have some kind of pest. So two organic controls that I love, one is called horticultural oil, easy to find in any nursery, as is insecticidal soap. Safe for us, and just we coat the bad bug with it, and that will solve any problems for indoor growing, Rob.
All right. 10th caller right now wins an incredible gift certificate to Janoski's. They're getting ready for that Christmas open house December 4th and 5th, the toy drive, all sorts of exciting things happening. 10th caller right now, 412-922-1020. So I was good for my two questions that I get a year, and now it's your turn, folks, and we've got every line lit, on hold, ready to go for Doug. Let's say hi to Nancy in Arnold. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Okay, my question is, my son brought home this fruit from a tree, and this tree grows around western Pennsylvania. It's green in color with bumps. This fruit is green in color with bumps all over it, and it's claimed to keep spiders away. Now, when you cut it open, it has a sticky substance inside of it. Do you know the name of this tree?
I do. It's called Osage Orange, and the fruit is about the size of a softball. And as a young child growing up in Warrensville Heights, Ohio, we used to fight with those, and they hurt. And they are said to repel spiders. Whether that works or not, I don't know, but I mean, as long as I've known Osage Orange, and we had another name for them. You know, you can look it up. I don't know if I can say it on the radio.
Well, and that's how I felt, too, because he did give me the name of it. But
right, right.
I didn't want to say it on the air.
Yeah, it's not so bad, but I don't know nowadays if we can say the words. Anyway,
okay.
I'm not sure
so
if it does repel.
Osage Orange.
Yes, I'm not sure if it actually does repel spiders, but people think it does. So it's a pretty cool tree, though. You know, I'll always have an affection for those big, giant fruit from that tree.
All right.
Nancy, so, thanks so much for your call today.
Let's go to Joe, Falling Waters. Hey, Joe.
Oh, yes. I have a boxwood hedge that's mostly wood, and I don't want to either trim it back or I'm not sure what to do with it.
So at this point, we don't want to do anything to it. It's too late in the season. We would not be trimming that. One thing, has it looked like it's had disease problems, or is it just kind of tired, do you think?
It's just tired. They're about over 6 foot high.
Wow. So, yeah, in the early spring, when things warm up, There's a great granular fertilizer called Garden Tone, and it's organic, it's easy to find, it's inexpensive. It's from a company called Espoma. They've been doing this since the 1930s. And just sprinkle some down there for your first application in the spring. And always when you're applying any fertilizer, always just look at the application rate. Don't put too much on because the plant can't use it. Then it ends up just being in the, storm sewer. So give it some fertilizer in the spring, and then maybe a little later on in the season also a lighter application. And you'll bring back, as long as the plant is not diseased, boxwoods are pretty tough, and they'll do their thing. All right?
All right. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Nick up next for Doug Oster on the Organic Gardener Show. Hi, Nick.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, I was just trying to find out, how do I look up the trip you're offering in May to London and Holland?
It's DougOster.com, DougOster. It's up there now. You can see all the details. There's also like a little webinar we did. It just goes through every stop that we make. And there's a full itinerary there to show you everything. And then through that, DougOster.com, if you have questions, just send me a message and I'll help you out with those questions. It's going to be a wonderful trip. I've been to London two other times. The funny thing is, actually, I just found out in London at this museum called Victoria and Albert Museum, they have the office of Edgar Kaufman from Kaufman's that Frank Lloyd Wright designed. For some reason, they have his office, and I've seen a picture of it. So when I'm in London, I'm going to try and do a story on that. But, yeah, just go to DougOster.com. Lots of stuff there also about gardening and saving seeds and planting garlic and six harvests from garlic, all sorts of cool stuff there.
DougOster.com. Let's go to Ed up next. Hey, Ed, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, sir.
I have a quick question about ornamental grass. We have ornamental grass on our hillside that we planted years ago, and it comes up real nice every year. And every fall, I cut it way down to the stub, and then it grows back. Is it okay to just leave that, or should it be cut back?
You can do it any way you want to do it. A lot of people will cut it down this time of the year just because they don't want the mess, all the stuff blowing around. But you could do it in the spring. It helps to cut it down at some point as it just encourages that new growth. But I have been got overwhelmed in the spring where I'd never cut it down, and it still comes back. One thing to watch for in your ornamental grasses is when they get tired, they start to die out in the middle. And if you're cutting them back and you see that you only have grass kind of on an outside circle sort of look, in the spring, get in there and cut those pieces up and replant them, and that'll reinvigorate your ornamental grass. So it helps to cut it down, and you can do it either the fall or the spring.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, time for one more call before the break. Let's say hi to Donna. Hey, Donna, welcome to KDK.
Hi, thank you. I know I don't have much time. I have a Chinese elm tree, and it's gotten big in the last 3 years. It was just planted 3 years ago. Part of it is hanging over the driveway, and I wanted to prune some of it back. Is this an okay time, or do I have to wait till winter?
Well, we have to be sure that it is in dormancy. We're probably pretty close. I would be tempted to wait as long as I could just to be sure that, with a Chinese elm, I'm not sure about Dutch elm disease. I think they're pretty resistant, but just...
They are.
I wouldn't want to prune that. You know, real quick, that's a really cool tree. How was it that you decided on that one?
I was working with someone. I have a big, like a turnaround driveway, and in the middle I have, like an island. And I wanted something that would grow up and not too thick because I wanted some shade, but I didn't want my car to keep hitting it. And it's been perfect so far, but this year it's done well. So now it's getting with some of the branches hanging too low. And also, if it snows, I'm afraid it'll break them off. They're really hanging heavy because they get like a heavy foliage, like a thick foliage, like little bulbs. It's hard to explain. It's not a flower.
Yeah, as it gets older, it's really going to look cool as it has this exfoliating bark. There's a mature specimen.
Yes.
On the campus of Chatham. And, you know, Chatham University is actually a arboretum, and they got lots of cool plants in there, and that's the first time I've seen one, so good for you. Yeah, just wait until we're sure that it's in complete dormancy, and then when you do make those cuts, depending on how big the branch is, usually we make a cut out about 12 inches first. We don't want to cut right next to the tree for that first cut. Cut out a little bit, then the branch will fall off. Now we only have 12 or 18 inch little branch left. We can cut about a quarter inch from the trunk without worrying about tearing the bark or anything like that. All right? That's a cool tree. Thank you very much for your call.
All right, we're going to take a break. But before we do, I got to tell you this. Listen to KDK Radio next week for your chance to win tickets to the recently announced Billy Joel concert at PNC Park, August the 11th, 2022. Tickets on sale Friday, November 19th at 10 a.m. Details at kdkradio.com. Yes, he is, and it's that time again, Doug.
Denise Schreiber is going to talk about trees for small gardens. What's on the list, Denise?
Oh, there's all kinds of trees for small gardens, and they range from maybe 10 foot tall to about 30 foot tall. You know, not every garden is a postage stamp, but not every garden is a big McMansion with acreage either. So two things I wanted to mention, two trees on this list. Japanese maples and dogwoods are best planted in the spring rather in the fall because they're slow to root out and get themselves secure. So those are two trees you want to wait till spring to actually plant. So I've got a new dogwood called Raging Red. The flower's like deep, deep blood red. And then, you know, we have some of the natives that have some great cultivars. Redbud, there's one called Golden Falls, which is a weeper, and the foliage is golden. There's another one called Flamethrower that has red, orange, gold, green on it, and that's pretty cool. Then there's Service Berries. And they're a native plant. Do you know the story behind a service berry? So the service berry
But go ahead and tell it.
Okay. Well, in the olden times, in colonial times, you know, they knew when the service berry was blooming that it was time to bury their dead because the ground was soft enough to dig.
Oh.
I'm not sure what they did with them the rest of the time, but that's the story.
That's not the story I knew, so that's a new story.
Oh, okay, well, it's new and it's old. And then we have the Little Girl series of magnolias, which are a more shrub-like magnolia, and they get to be about 12, 15 feet tall at the most, and there's different colors on them. We've got Kyanthus, which I don't even know the common name for it, but it gets these beautiful white flowers on them. It's just covered. You've got the pink horse chestnuts that have the really deep pink cones, and they're less susceptible to disease like some of the other ones. You've got Seven Suns flower. It's called Heptacodium. And there's Halesia, which it's called Silver Bells. And the flowers actually hang down and look like little bells. There's a lilac called Ivory Silk. That's a very upright one. If you want to see one in person, Jefferson Cemetery in Pleasant Hills, which is close to me, of course, has a really nice stand of them, and they're very upright, and the flowers are fragrant. And then you've got other ones like crabapples. So they come in every shape, size, and color you want. There's two that I like. One is called Sweet Sugar Time, which is a newer variety of the old one called Sugar Time. And there's one that I just planted in my garden this year, and it's called Ruby Days. And that's D-A-Y-Z-E. And it gets great fall color. You don't always see great fall color on crabapples, but this is one that has it. So I'm really excited to have it in the garden this year. I had to replace it.
What are the flowers like?
The flowers, they're a magenta pink red. You know, now my goal was I wanted a small tree that had good flowers and wasn't big because I have power lines, and I wanted fall color. And this one just ticked off all the check marks.
You know, if you can, talk a little bit about Jefferson Cemetery, because it's a place that you turned me on to, and it is amazing.
Well, it is actually considered a level one arboretum now, and you can drive through it anytime and walk. People walk. So when you come into the funeral home's right there, you want to go to the next entrance. And when you come in, if you make an immediate right and go down, you will see taxodiums. You will see a true locust, which is the straight species, not the ones that we use in the landscape. And it has thorns that are about 3-4 inches long, red thorns that stick out of the trunk. So I guarantee the deer will never eat that one or rub it. And then as you drive around, there's different willows. Not willows, I'm sorry. There's a willow oak, which you normally don't see. There's a number of flowering crabs throughout the area. There's an area that has huge bottle brush buckeyes. It's kind of in the back of the cemetery. And if you go up there when they're blooming, there's thousands and thousands of pollinators just all over them. It's a beautiful stand of them. I taught my daughter to drive there, and she now knows where the bottle brush buckeyes are. She got a botany lesson. And then, of course,
Okay. Go ahead.
And there, one thing they have some urns that are from Pompeii. And I did a story on them, and I asked them, I said, well, how do you have these? They said they've had them since it was established, when it was a farm back in the 1700s. So nobody really knows how they got there to begin with.
Wow. All right, Mrs. Know-It-All, as always, thanks for that great information. Jefferson Cemetery, it's a cool place. Now, I'll be answering questions after the show. If you didn't get through, you just go to DougOster.com. There's lots of information there, how to save seeds, which is something we're doing right now. I've got a list of plants with great winter interest, planting garlic for 6 harvests, and details for that May trip to London and Holland. Remember, organic gardeners, you make our world brighter and safer with each seed you sow and every garden you grow.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.